All right. What's white and sleeps three? A city work truck. It's going to be one of those Sundays, Dave. Hang on. So two highway department workers got to their work site, and they were mortified because they had forgot their shovels miles down the road. So they called their foreman up. Foreman's like, don't worry about it, guys. I'll get there as soon as possible. But until then, you're going to have to lean on each other. Thank you, Dave. All right, finally, we got that, right? And I was thinking, I'm like, okay, so if I use those two jokes, who in the congregation might I offend? Now, we have a lot of visitors, so if I've offended you, I'm sorry this morning. Joe is the one city worker I could think of. But here's the thing. You have to consider the source. This is coming from a guy that only works 1 hour a week, right? Come on, you've all of you, one time or another, I've heard that. So we're talking about laziness this morning. And come to think about it, I think you guys are getting a little lazy because, frankly, I haven't heard that pastor joke for at least 3 months. So you need to step up your game. Yes, step up your game. Say, Pastor, right now this is my 1 hour, so I'm trying to give it all to you. Because it really never gets old. That joke it's fresh every time I hear that. So feel free. But seriously, we are starting a two-week series looking at laziness versus rest. And as I was putting this sermon together, I recognized the seeming irony because it came right after VBS. And I will tell you, if you were a VBS volunteer, you are not feeling lazy at all this week. That is a great week, but it can absolutely be exhausting. And I will just thank you if you were involved with VBS in any way, shape, or form. Great job, and it's important to invest in our kids in that way. But it's not ironic because, you know what, when I think of laziness and I think of hard work and all that stuff, I would say, by and large, we are pretty hardworking. The ones that I know pretty well, we are a hardworking bunch here, and I think that's even true for most people that I associate with. We are busy. We work hard at the things we do. And so some of you are thinking to yourself, man, finally I got a sermon that Pastor Todd's not going to beat me up on. But it's probably not really true because it's going in a little different way. And even then, I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe if I worked a little harder on these sermons, I could soften them a bit for you. But then I would work over my 1 hour and I'd have to charge you overtime, and I don't want to do that. So you just get what you get on any given Sunday morning, all right? So here's the thing. We're not talking about physical laziness, but even though during this sermon, if the Holy Spirit smacks you about something, I would suggest that you pay attention and do what you need to do, but that's not where I'm going this morning. We're going to look at spiritual laziness. Whole other topic, isn't it? Man, I'm busy with all this stuff, but spiritual laziness has a whole different vibe and connotation to it. I mean, the reality is, you could be the hardest working person on the planet and still be one of the most spiritually lazy person out there. And I would say some people cover their spiritual laziness with the busyness of life, right? They either cover it, or they using it as an excuse. Well, I am so busy. I know God, I'll get to it. But I got this, and this, and do. And so that spiritual laziness is just kind of there. And just like physical laziness, physical laziness has certain things that come to it. It can be if you're really, really lazy, you don't get paid, or possibly poverty. I would argue there's health issues associated with it. If you are too lazy to exercise or move at all, that definitely comes into play. I think there are relationship problems that come from laziness if you are not doing the work of investing in others. And those are all physical. But spiritual laziness also comes with its own issues. And this is why we are challenged in the Bible not to be lazy. Look at what it says in Hebrews. Hebrews 6, 11, and 12. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that when what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Now again, within this verse, there's probably some things that might speak to physical laziness. The church was still pretty young at this point. There were physical things that needed to happen. But when you look at the book of Hebrews and you read this verse, that's not really what they're getting at here. And even within the confines of this verse, we see that there's that possibility that we can become lazy as Christians. Even early on, we're not too far off of when Jesus was walking the planet. This was still really, really fresh, and yet the authors knew that they had to challenge people not to become lazy, to continue to work with diligence. Why? Because we are the same as they were back then. Human nature, we cannot escape our human nature. There is just a part of us at a certain point that just wants to, we don't want to work hard, we don't want to think about it, we just want to go, and we just want to be, and even within our spirituality. The authors understood not only the possibility of spiritual laziness, but I would even argue the likelihood. People are people, whether you're following Jesus or not. And following Jesus, if you're doing it the way that the New Testament and the Old Testament and the Bible is challenging us to do, is challenging, and often it's very, very hard. If your faith is not difficult, you're doing something wrong. Right? Our faith nowhere in here is like Christianity is a cakewalk. Just God's going to love you no matter what. Just do your thing and all. No. Jesus was pretty poignant with the ways he was calling us to follow him. So this might be limited, again, in the physical laziness, but I would argue that these verses are really talking about spiritual laziness. And this is what we need to understand, that there are dangers in being spiritually lazy. And I'm just going to show you four this morning, four dangers of spiritual laziness. Number one, conform versus transform. So here's the thing. What is the end goal of Jesus Christ for your life? Now again, we might say eventually we're all hoping to avoid the flames of hell and get in heaven, because that is ultimately what we are promised. But while we are here, are we supposed to conform or be transformed? Right? Put this another way. I mean, if we are just playing at things, we might build an image but not a character. There are people out there that, again, I mean, I know some of you, and the nice thing about being at a church for 18 years, you get to see people grow in the faith and all those things, but there are plenty of people out there that play church and look like really, really good Christians. You could meet them, and they know the right verbiage, and they could say the right things, and they can be in church and all that stuff, but they've polished their image, but their character is exactly the same. They have conformed to the church world, but have not been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Those are vastly different things. My hope and prayer for you as your pastor is that you will be changed from the inside out. Not only will your outside lives look differently than the world around you, but it starts from a heart that has been transformed by Jesus Christ. All of us probably have examples of someone in our life that we knew that played church to a certain point. And I guess my question is, to what end? I mean, I guess it's a good thing that if you roll into a church and you're kind of, you know what, you're accepted into that loving community, and so your life starts to look like that. But at the end of the day, what is it going to do for you? Now, again, I would even argue that I'd rather have someone sitting in the pews playing church than being out there not, because the Holy Spirit can grab hold of them in here. So I'm not saying if you're playing church, get out. I'm saying if you're playing church, you better start continuing to be paying attention, because God wants to speak. He wants to transform. Your life is supposed to reflect his son. And even thinking about that process, I mean, I'm a pastor and that still terrifies me. You know, I know that I'm supposed to look like Jesus, and I can point to a whole list, as can my children and wife, of places my life does not reflect Jesus Christ. I would like to say, though, that now I'm a little farther on than I was 20 years ago. Transformation doesn't happen like this, but over time, your life better be looking differently from the inside out. We need to be transformed. And when we're spiritually lazy, here's the thing. We fail to grow. This number two, fail to grow in our Christian discipline. Here's the thing. You can't grow your Christian faith. Okay, that is a work of the Holy Spirit. But what you can do is you can put yourself in a place where it is way more likely to happen. You are in, and we use the term Christian disciplines here, we are setting ourselves up for growth, right? We're in the Word. Maybe we listen to worship music. We're in some kind of a Bible study. We are discussing the Word with other Christians. We're doing those things where, again, God has spoke about, and he can use others, and he can use his Word to speak into our lives. If we don't have those disciplines in our life, it's a sign of spiritual laziness. And this is so important, because when we look at our world and culture, we are bombarded with the things that counter God's word. And if you are not filling yourself and your spiritual tank, then you don't have the knowledge and the understanding of God's truth. And when the storm comes that we all know will, you will have a hard time standing on this word. If you are spiritually empty, Satan has got you right where he wants you. And when that stuff from the world comes, we think, oh, that sounds pretty good. We are called to live very different than the world we live in the culture we live in. And there are people that claim Christianity. When you look at their lives, it looks exactly like the world. There's something amiss when that is happening. The other thing is if we're not filling our spiritual tanks, we can't grow. To be the Christian God wants you to be, it takes work. It takes effort. It takes determination to do so. Again, you can't force growth in your life, but you can do those things that God has asked you that he uses to grow. We have to trust that the Holy Spirit knows what lessons and when. But if we become spiritual lazy, or if we are spiritual lazy, here's the next one. It usually leads to spiritual compromise. Again, we live in a culture on a regular basis. Tomorrow, when you walk out, there's something you come across, for the most of you, is going to be counter. Something counter to what God says is going to be thrown your way. I mean, our culture screams at us. It's constantly trying to get our attention because in our culture, usually the loudest voice wins, all right? Advertising. The people that have the biggest advertising budgets put their name in front of you more than everyone else, and whether you realize it or not, subconsciously, when you're rolling through the store and you're thinking, you walk by that brand, you're thinking, something triggers. Hey, if it didn't work, they wouldn't spend billions of dollars on it. So we walk out those doors and we get screamed at. And then God comes to us and how? In a still small voice. God doesn't tend to yell at us. And it's the thing, if we're not purposeful in getting our time with him so that he can hear what he wants, the world will drown him out. And not only that, we become less sensitive to the Holy Spirit because, again, the Holy Spirit doesn't yell at us. He whispers. He nudges. He speaks to us. I will tell you, you know, one of these things we've been talking about, handing these cards out, engaging people for Christ and things, and some of you have shared those stories of, man, it was really apparent I was there, and I didn't want to do it, but the Holy Spirit was really, really, you know, on me, so I felt like I was supposed to do it, and I did it. And then I think other people are like, well, I don't have those opportunities. I would question, how well can you hear the Spirit? Because the Spirit wants to use you. I don't care how mature you are in the faith. I don't care if you've been a Christian for a week. The Holy Spirit wants to use you in some way. And if you're not hearing the Spirit, it's not that he's talking. You've allowed him to be drowned out because you're spiritually lazy. And if you're spiritually lazy long enough, your mind will wander away from Christ. Our minds love information and knowledge and understanding. And here's the thing, and pretty much whatever you feed it is what you will become. The Bible says, as a man thinks continually in his heart, so he is. God teaches us not to lean on our own human understanding, but we are to allow his eternal wisdom into us, that the Holy Spirit would help us process information, because I will tell you, the Holy Spirit will give you an entirely different perspective and motive than the world and your human nature will. Because there are times God wants to stretch you. There are times God wants to show you his faithfulness, and it doesn't pencil out on paper, and common sense would say, you can't do this, and God's going, watch me work. Step out in faith. I've got this one. But if we wander away and we can't hear, then that rationale of the world leads us. And if we're there long enough, eventually we become resistant to what God has to say. And we can move so far away that we don't care anymore. We don't see the worth in denying ourselves and sacrificially following Jesus. Is it any wonder that the Bible warns us in the book of Ephesians 5:15 and 16? Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of every time, because the days are evil. That first line, be careful then how you live. Now, when we read that, we tend to think of that as that watch out verse. And that's absolutely true. We need to be careful for the things that we do. We need to be careful for the things that we expose ourselves to. But on the flip side of this, I think is another truth. I think we also need to be wise and conscientious about how we live. Are you doing everything you can in all that God has blessed you with that he's asking you? Are you living in his wisdom? Do you have the wisdom you need? Again, I would argue there's only a few places you can get that. In his word, in solid preaching, in worship, in devotion. You have to watch how you live. You have to live purposefully. Because you know why? Because here's the second truth of this. Making the most of your time. Your time's limited. My time's limited. That's the nature of the beast. Now we, you know, those of us that are younger might believe we have another 40, 50 years ahead of us. There's no promise. We don't have, tomorrow's not promised to us. And so if it's this verse is telling us we need to live purposely and we need to be careful because the time is short and someday we will stand before God and we will answer how we use the time he has blessed us with, what will your answer be? Because you don't stand up there with your spouse, you don't stand up there with your kids, you don't stand up there with your pastor. You will stand before God and answer what you, how do you answer the spiritual lazy question? If you have a really good answer that you have for God, you need to share it with the rest of us. Because the truth of this is, this sermon's for every one of us, your pastor included. Because it is so easy to let things go. I had a busy week this week. My devotional time went, whew, and I'm feeling it. I knew at the end of the week, I was like, Lord, show up in the pulpit because I don't feel like I spent enough time with you, but they shouldn't suffer because I did that, because I was busy. And I've learned that lesson so many times. When I do that time, God shows up on the other end. But Todd works more than an hour a week, right? There are a lot of things that have to be done, and if I don't do it, then when does it? And so we get trapped. And here's the thing. If you're in a spot right now, you're close to God, you know you better guard it and enjoy it because Satan doesn't leave us alone on this one. Spiritual laziness is going to be something that challenges you until God brings you home and glorifies you and you get to see him face to face and it disappears. While we live on this planet, this is a challenge for all of us. That we will want to go to the things of this world and we will just put aside the things of God. Is it any wonder that later on in the book of Hebrews, the author writes this? This is Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds and not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, if you are a regular tender here, you have heard this verse a time or two, and usually it's in the context of church attendance, which I would also argue, if you aren't attending church regularly, then that would be a component of spiritual laziness. But the part I really want you to see this morning are these two things. Spur one another on and encouraging one another. Because, like I just said, we are all guilty and susceptible to spiritual laziness. And here's the thing. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and the Holy Spirit is heavy on you. This is one of those that you wish you would have stayed at home and avoided this sermon because God is speaking right into your life. And here's the thing. You can be convicted of that fact and going, okay, Lord, I have been, and you know, I want to walk with you. I want to do those things. But it can be incredibly hard to get ourselves out of that because, number one, you can hide it really well. I mean, you can hide it from your spouse. I mean, do any of you have, like, are your spouse asking, are you doing your daily devotions? Have you spent your time in prayer? Are you, you know, what kind of music are you, listening to enough worship music? Have you turned off the TV and have you spent some quiet time with God? Do you have anyone in your life that does that on a regular basis? No. So when we look at this, this is you, right? right? And so we can hide it. We can look busy. We can even be showing up at church and volunteering, which is important, and we're invested. But if we aren't spending that time with God and we can't hear his voice, then something's amiss. Or we get really comfortable with it, and we're like, you know what? I'm not exactly where I need to be, but you understand the cost. You understand what it's going to take for you to get back to where you need to be, and you're like, oh, I just don't want to do it. That's, again, that's part of our humanity. And again, we have this enemy of our souls that says, oh, you could do that, but check this out. Isn't this way more fun? Isn't this way more interesting? Yeah, you could sit and read again, try to get through Leviticus, or look what's on television. And if you think Satan doesn't operate that way, you're missing the boat. I mean, we live in a country with all sorts of wonderful distractions. To be able to get away and to be quiet before our loving Heavenly Father, there, nothing is a substitute for that. But we have to be vigilant. And so we need to be discussing, we need to be sharing with each other's lives. So, I mean, you hear often in this place, we refer to this church as family, and that we need each other and we need to do life with one another. And this, I mean, that's the New Testament church talks about that. And this is another reason why we need to spur and encourage one another, because we're all broken and we need each other to complete this journey. We need each other to be able to be everything that God is calling you to be for the sake of Jesus Christ and the advancement of his kingdom. If you are alongside someone and you see them slipping or if you see them struggling, it's not just the pastor's job to speak into their lives, it's yours as well. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the body of Christ. We need to lovingly come and encourage one another, and if that doesn't work, then we spur. The verse is up there. It's got both, right? To encourage people to get back into that spiritual groove. Maybe you need accountability. Maybe being in this is by yourself. Maybe you need to find someone to do a Bible study once a week with or something. I don't know. You're on your own boat. But you need to be doing those things with one another to encourage and spur each other on. Yes, the Bible talks, and we'll look at that next week, about solitude and quiet. But I would argue more and more, most Christians don't need more solitude and quiet. They need more people in their lives that'll speak truth and love. So here's the hard question this morning. Where are you at? If you had to sit in my office one-on-one and I would answer you that question, would you tell me about how spiritually on fire you are, or would you confess that you've allowed some laziness to creep in? I am not inviting you to my office this morning, all right? But if the Holy Spirit has talked to you, then you have an appointment ahead of you. This is your friendly reminder to wake up. Our time is so incredibly short. And if you are not where you need to be, you're playing a dangerous game. Because being spiritually lazy, you can't be spiritually lazy without reaping some consequences. But the good thing is this, guess what? God loves you no matter what. No matter where you are, whether you're on the path or whether you've slipped, God loves you the same, and he is here, ready, willing, and very, very able to help get you back on track. All you need to do is confess and get real with him and repent and recommit, and he will give you the strength and wisdom and spiritual energy and all that you need in order to do all that he's given you to do. That is the gospel this morning. Amen. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father God, we start with a confession, way more than we would care to admit. We allow ourselves to get spiritual lazy. And Lord, it's not that we don't love you. It's just we live in this world and we're distracted and we're busy and everything else screams for our attention, and you just sit and wait for us. And so sometimes you get our leftovers. Sometimes you don't even see us at all. And I know for myself, I'm as guilty as everybody else. And Lord, just make yourself real to us. And if you've challenged anybody, just lovingly get them into that place where, again, they'll find just that joy of being with you in your word, in times of prayer, in times of worship music, and that you would just fan the flames of that fire, Lord. We want to be on fire for you. We want to do everything that we can and that you've ordained for us in this short time when we're on this planet, so that when we stand before you someday, Lord, we know you're going to welcome us with open arms, but that you would look at us and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So just wherever we're at this morning, just speak into our lives and just encourage us and challenge us and give us what we need to continue to make strides for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.